Oh, there once was a tiki podcast, with a host that a cheeky bastard. He's endearing to some till he drinks up his rum and falls straight away on his arse. There are landmark moments in a man's life, wherein he crosses certain thresholds. As a middle-aged man, I've noticed an uptick in the frequency of these moments. I'm not talking about wedding anniversaries, purchasing a home, or growing my 401k. I'm talking about those instances when something clicks in which one feels noticeably more mature in an instant. I'm referring, of course, to the momentous occasion when a man realizes he's aged out of St. Patrick's Day. Ah, it was a crisp, drizzly day in Nashville, 17 March 2023. One of my closest friends was visiting, and like I've been doing for 30 years now, I dragged Brandon all over town trying to hold on to our partying youth. This particular folly led us to an Irish bar aptly named The Pub. Now, this establishment is awesome. The bar is wrapped in ornately carved wood and stained glass, there's a pleasant view of the very walkable Gulch District, and they offer the best fish and chips in town. But, on St. Patrick's Day, as one may expect, hell's a poppin'. The bar was three deep trying to get a drink, the wait for a table was 2 hours, and both the food and cocktail menus were limited for the event. It was at the bar, loud music pounding in my head, over the din and thither of day drinkers spangled in blinking green baubles and bangles, while I sipped my beer from a plastic cup, that I yelled towards Brandon, "I'm too old for this shit!" Seriously, no longer am I willing to drink my whiskey standing up in the corner of a bar just to avoid the FOMO of St. Paddy's partying. That being said, of all the drinking holidays we Americans have pilfered and diluted, St. Patrick's Day is my favorite. I've always been a giant fan of pub culture, especially the pomp and circumstance of an Irish pub. I love the woodwork, camaraderie, and acerbic banter from the staff if they're from Ireland. A few years ago, my wife and I were in Manhattan around Christmas time, and on our walk back to the hotel, we decided to stop into an Irish pub. I wish I could remember the name, we may have had a few at dinner. And there are quite a few pubs in New York City. But this place was amazing. Being all decked out for the holiday appealed to the Christian in me, but it was the vibe that took hold. We found two spots at the end of the bar where the waitresses congregated to pick up tall pints of red ale. The bartender proceeded to pour the rest of a bottle of scotch into my wife's glass as I sipped the froth off a Kilkenny draft. We sat there for hours listening to the lilting Irish accents of the bartenders taunting the cocktail girls and their sarcastic quips back. "Oh, say that again and I'll slap your face, I will." And we all laughed. The friendly shit-talking, the way the bottles glint in low neon, the tastes of beer and whiskey, it all comes together in perfect harmony to fill out the experience. Inside a pub just feels like home, right from the inviting warm colors of the sign above the door. Yes, we will be celebrating St. Patrick's Day this year with dinner, Smithwick's, and perhaps a couple Irish bombs at the pub. But we'll be going the night before so we can sit at the bar and enjoy our drinks from a real glass like grown-ups. And what better way to celebrate a notorious drinking holiday than with a notorious drink? Today, we're going to get Blarney Stoned on Irish coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tony, and this is Pa Tiki. Way before vodka, Red Bull, and Four Loko, there was Irish coffee. Unlike its hooligan cousin, the Irish car bomb, Irish coffee is actually not an offensive Americanized ripoff making a poor attempt at culture. I'm looking at you, Corona Rita. Irish coffee was, in fact, created in Ireland. To boot, St. Patrick's Day is not another appropriated kind of made-up drinking holiday. Well, okay, it is a drinking holiday, but we can celebrate in good faith knowing that it's still very much a national holiday in Ireland. I think the honest tie to Christianity lends St. Paddy's Day some legitimacy as well, especially since we're talking about a Catholic saint. I ain't no saint, but I am Catholic, and we like to drink. Mix that with the Irish, and well, you better hold on to your leprechauns. On a personal note, as an Italian-American Catholic, I feel a certain kinship with the Irish, both of our forebears coming through Ellis Island and disseminating along the Atlantic coast. I feel just as home in an authentic Irish pub as I do sipping wine in an Italian restaurant. I can wax wistful all day on my love for St. Patrick's Day and Irish pubs, But, of course, mine is a watered-down modern U.S. version. For the history of the original Irish coffee, we gotta float our little boats across the pond to Foynes, County Limerick, Ireland. There's an unexpected tie to the tropics here. Aircraft landing in the water elicits visions of low-flying seaplanes carving a pastel Caribbean sky and throwing up white wings of ocean as it skims the surface. Personally, I think of seaplanes as island hoppers, not intercontinental. But have you ever heard of a flying boat? Unlike a seaplane, which alights atop the water's surface utilizing outriggers, a flying boat actually lands in the water, the fuselage essentially becoming the hull. It was one of these flying boats that was delayed from Foynes Pan Am Terminal in Ireland one cold winter evening circa 1943. Foynes was the final refueling stop before crossing the ocean on its way to New York, so these passengers were already travel-weary, now wet and shivering. I imagine this bedraggled lot ambling in off the tarmac, just being told there was something wrong with the plane, it was a Boeing after all, and the only reprieve from the blistering winds of the Irish coast being a bar with one man leaning blithely on his shoulder, wiping the spots off a stemmed coffee glass. P.S. I have no idea if there's blistering winds off the Irish coast, it just sounded good. That man was Joe Sheridan. It's said that Sheridan took sympathy on the downtrodden travelers and wanted to whip them up something special to keep them warm and in good spirits. So he added some Irish whiskey to hot coffee, stirred in brown sugar, and floated heavy cream on top. When one of the passengers asked if this was Brazilian coffee, Sheridan quipped back, quote, "No, it's Irish coffee." As air travel grew in popularity, Foynes Port Terminal eventually gave way to Shannon Airport in County Clare, a scant 35 miles from Foynes, where a flying boat museum is the only remnant of a bygone era. One of the pastimes that did make the transition to Shannon Airport was the serving of Sheridan's Irish coffee. It was at the Shannon Airport where travel writer Stanton Delaplane, kind of funny, his last name is Delaplane, right? And he's at an airport, encountered the Irish coffee. No doubt Delaplane's writing made the drink known to America, but it was his friend, Jack Kepler, who made it renowned. Kepler ran the Buena Vista Cafe in San Francisco. For the geographically impaired, San Francisco is in California. It's still comical to me that the Irish coffee found infamy in a place called the Buena Vista. Doesn't sound very Irish, right? I guess Kepler saw an opportunity to capitalize on a good thing, and using Delaplane's recounting of Sheridan's process and profile, they eventually struck gold. Now, following an article penned by Delaplane touting the Buena Vista Cafe's authentic Irish coffee as the phenomenon, touting the Irish coffee at Buena Vista in an article written by Delaplane. I don't know how I got confused there. The phenomenon soon spread across the U.S. We all know a version of the Irish coffee, right? But the Buena Vista is still a destination for mixed drink enthusiasts, serving up to 2,000 Irish coffees per day. The way they do this reminds me of how Cuban bartenders prep mojitos. Glass mugs are lined up along the bar with sugar at the bottom. When an order comes in, the whiskey and coffee are added and topped with cream. Voila. Or should I say, slanche. All right, you bonny lads and lasses, let's make a drink. Irish coffee is relatively simple as a drink in terms of ingredients and process, but the quality of said ingredients has a profound effect on the enjoyment of the finished product. The category of Irish whiskey is replete with great options. I really enjoy Irish whiskey, dare I say almost more than American bourbon sometimes. It's got a smooth roundness that's almost fruity. There's definitely a whiskey bite, but it's so well softened that it adds to the flavor rather than stinging the tongue. Admittedly, I'm not a connoisseur, although I would like to be. I can only speak from my limited experiences and that I've concluded, for one, that I do not care for Jameson. Bushmills and Proper 12 are my runner-ups, but the winner for me has got to be Slane. Such a wonderful whiskey, and coming in around $27 a bottle, Slane is well worth the price of admission. Full-flavored, yet smooth, with a bit more body than expected, it has now become my go-to Irish whiskey. As mentioned a few episodes back when discussing coffee grog, my favorite local coffee is the dark roast option from Nashville's Frothy Monkey. I've seen some articles suggest a medium-bodied roast, but if you're a coffee drinker, you're going to want something more in this. And if you're not a coffee drinker, worry not. The cream, sugar, and whiskey will mitigate any unpleasant heaviness or bitterness from the coffee. I'm prone to a dark Italian roast, but as with any gustatory indulgence, preference plays a major part in enjoyment. So use the coffee you like, but my opinion is that using a fuller roast will render a richer end result. For sugar, I've read everything from regular granulated to cubed, but what I've seen most referenced is brown sugar. Having tried a few different sugars, I concur that the brown sugar is the best for this, and it's what's suggested in Sheridan's original recipe. It lends to the coffee cake flavors that we'll explore a little bit of that later. That extra depth is something you might not recognize when it's not there as far as the brown sugar, but you'll miss it if it's not. Lastly, we need heavy whipping cream. This is the only tricky and kind of pain in the ass part. The cream must be whipped to a consistency that will float on the surface of the coffee, but is not so thick that it peaks, as they say. That is, it should not be foamy enough that it stands on its own, forming little peaks when you pull a spoon through it. A milk frother makes it too thick, so I opted for the old-fashioned way, hand whisk. It takes a few minutes of steady whipping, but the result is a perfect thick cream that, when poured slowly over the back of a spoon, forms that perfect distinct line of cloud white against rich black coffee. I can't emphasize how important this small part of the process is. It's essentially the only thing that separates an Irish coffee from some hapless film noir detective pouring whiskey from a flask into his morning joe. Don't rush this part, lest your cream will not rest on top, but descend in streaks through the coffee, rendering a weird, melting Dali painting of a drink. A final note before preparation is don't overdo the whiskey. We have a tendency to assume an ounce and a half of spirit is a casual pour. In the case of Irish whiskey, the balance of flavor is more important than getting wasted. Remember, this drink was invented to cheer folks up, not get them hammered and restless. A 1 ounce pour of whiskey is all it takes to blend perfectly into the palate of this libation. Any more than that, and the whiskey becomes the dominant flavor and kind of ruins the experience. But, fear not, as cocktail historian Dale DeGroff says, quote, Delaplane and Kepler's recipe calls for a 1 ounce shot. I know it seems stingy, but do not be put off. It's actually good news. That liquor, along with 3.5 ounces of steaming hot sweetened coffee and 3/4 inch of lightly whipped cream, is so delicious you'll want to consume at least 2 more. Unquote. With that, here's the recipe. 2 teaspoons of brown sugar, 2 to 4 ounces of heavy cream, 4 ounces of hot black coffee, 1 ounce of Irish whiskey. Fill an 8 ounce glass coffee mug with hot water and set aside. Whip 2 to 4 ounces of heavy cream till it thickens. You won't use all of it, but better to have too much than not enough. Emptying the hot water from the mug, and into it add the sugar, the whiskey, and fill with no more than 4 ounces of hot coffee. Stir till the sugar dissolves. Take care to leave about a half inch of room on top for the cream. Finally, easy pour the cream over the back of a kitchen spoon into the mug, starting low and close to the coffee, then slowly raising it till it just about breaches the rim. There should be a very clear line of thick white cream floating above rich dark coffee. That first sip is magical. The experience of feeling hot coffee cooled just so by passing through the cream is a delightful curiosity. Take heed to savor that sip, for it only happens on the first one. As that sip fades, a hint of sweet whiskey slips in. Just enough to remind you it's there. Creeping in the back like, what's up? The texture is very creamy. Overall, it tastes a lot like coffee ice cream. Heavenly. I don't really need to go too deep into flavor. You guys know what coffee and booze taste like. The treat of this drink is it follows the style of how Europe loves their fancy coffees. Just be careful. Caffeine plus alcohol plus sugar can be a dangerous combo. Mixing uppers and downers can at best create a very awake drunk and at worst cause heart palpitations. Imagine being drunk, that point of being drunk when you lose track of how much you've had. Now, if what you're drinking is coffee, or back in the aughts, Red Bull, it's going to affect you negatively. Mind your intake and your heart rate. What's great about Irish coffee is that it's not meant to get wasted on. It's a dessert or a way to kick the night off or a nice brunch sipper. As young as Irish coffee is, it's far from the first coffee cocktail. As far back as the mid-19th century, Viennese coffee houses were serving hot coffee-based cocktails topped with whipped cream. You know, when it comes to coffee, the French had to get involved. They called coffee with alcohol a Gloria. But none of these have had the lasting power and pervasive coverage as Irish coffee. With that, I think it's time for me to commit my favorite St. Patrick's Day drinking tradition, the Irish goodbye. Sources for this episode can be found under the blog post at podtiki.com. I urge you guys to follow us on social media, pod_tiki, or just podtiki on Google, and you'll find all our stuff. If you feel like helping the show out, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/podtikipodcast. It's only $3 a month to, and with that, you get an extra show and, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff as it gets released to the Patreons. If you're looking for summertime accoutrement for your cocktails, how about a custom glass straw from Surfside Sips? They still partner with us. So if you're looking for even something to take to the pool or on vacation, or just to throw in your bag or your car and have with you whenever you need a straw at a restaurant or bar, or if you just want to look fancy, you go into the tiki bar and you bring your custom Surfside Sip straw with you with all kinds of decorations or ornaments, or just go check out what Andrew has over there at SurfsideSips.com, because there's always new stuff. He's always working on new stuff, and he's got some old classics up there. And if you don't want a custom piece, you just want a high quality, reusable, machine washable, dishwasher safe glass straw to take with you and use, they have sets, they have carrying cases, all the cleaning utensils. And if you go and you purchase something at SurfsideSips.com, the best part is if there's a coupon code, PODTIKI, PODTIKI, all caps, all one word, you're going to get a fat 20% off, and then I'll get a little kickback, and so he knows that I sent you there, and it'll all be good. I hope you guys had a safe St. Patrick's Day. We'll jump back into tiki next month with a big one. So keep it tiki and slánche.